97.5, The Fanatic.
And happy Saturday, everybody. It is a beautiful, beautiful day outside. It is a beautiful day in here at the New Parks Casino and Sportsbook. 97.5, The Fanatic will be here noon to 3. I am Rob Motti. With me is D. Lynam. D, we got a lot of basketball to talk about. You ready for this?
Absolutely. I'm glad it's at least coming off a positive performance by the Philadelphia 76ers.
Today it is. And there was a lot of 76ers conversation this week, and there was a lot of negative 76ers conversation this week. And I thought I can come back from the Super Bowl. I got a little Super Bowl hangover and ease into my Philly sports coverage. Man, come back. Miami Sixers on Monday night. They're there. I actually had an opportunity to stay and go to that game, but I wanted to get home as quickly as possible. So yeah. I got home that night, watched a little bit of it. Bad loss. Another bad loss against Milwaukee. Four straight losses. Then the trade deadline comes, and then the Sixers acquire. We're going to get it right? You and I will call him Alec Burks. Not Alex Burke. It's Alec Burks. And Glenn Robinson III for his second stint with the 76ers. So there was a lot of movement. There was a lot of discussion. There's Ben Simmons and Kendall by the pool. There's Ben Simmons coming, flying home on his own. All this stuff happens. And then last night, they finally go out there. They're home. They win a basketball game. And I cannot understand how this team can be so good at home. Best record in the NBA, 23-2. Down at the center in front of the home crowd in South Philly, and 9-19 on the road. And this is a team that, to me, it's baffling, because when you talk about home court advantage in the NBA, it's not like the NFL where you're on the road, you can't hear because of the crowd noise, and you can't audible, and you got to go through all that stuff. A basket's a basket, a court's a court. The home court advantage in the NBA, as great as it is for the Sixers, they are now only one of two teams in the NBA with a winning overall record and a losing record on the road. And the other would be the Miami Heat. And it seems like at this point, the Sixers are headed for a 4-5 matchup with the Miami Heat, who they've lost 3 of 4 to. Miami's 12-14 on the road. Sixers are 9-19. If the Sixers were just 500 on the road, they'd be right there for the 3 seed. Instead, right now, they're the 5 seed. Before we get into all the other stuff with the Sixers, I don't understand why this team, there's such a disparity. Can you figure it out?
Well, statistically, the disparity is in their shooting, and it's far lower numbers on the road, whether you look at the overall field goal percentage or the three-point field goal percentage. But the biggest thing that those numbers come from is defensively, and certainly over that four-game road trip that they're coming off of, defensively they were horrific. And overall, Brett will always say to you, you know, we're still the top five defensively, in the, which is true over the whole season, right? But not certainly on that most recent road trip where they gave up a lot of points. So part of it, I think, is how people, they don't defend or haven't been defending on the road, and what people have forced them into. I think some people felt like their performance in Milwaukee was a little bit of a moral victory because they were hanging in that game, and it was a 5-point game in the fourth quarter. To me, when you were supposed to be competing with that Milwaukee Bucks team to come out of the East, that moral victory, in the moment it might have felt good because you had been so bad in Miami, but to me, that the moral victory part of that, because I think actually in the East, the team I think they do match up best with is Milwaukee. However, and you heard them in the postgame comments saying, Milwaukee wants us to shoot threes, and they do. And the game on Christmas is the most threes that the Sixers have made this year against Milwaukee, 21. They bait them into doing that. But what that does, you now don't get to the line. You don't score points in the paint. Mm-hmm. You can go down the road of having the argument about Embiid's hand and he couldn't finish in the paint. Was he in the paint enough? I'm not going to go one way or the other. I always feel like he could be in the paint more. If he's not finishing because of the left hand, I'll give him that benefit of the doubt. I will say his first game back, when he had the same apparatus and it wrapped the same way, he had no problem. Now, that game was at home.
Right.
And then they go on the road. Last night, he had no problem until he had the stiff neck in terms of finishing with, you know, for his 10 points. He was really, really good out of the gate. So I think there is a focus that is missing for this team. I think they use the home crowd and the home building as a bit of a crutch, which I think is dangerous. And until they realize that you can't just show up, that work needs to go in, that the effort on the road has to be maybe twice as hard because people come at you differently. You know, and that's a maturity factor for me. And they have not been a good road team under Brett Brown to date. And if you look at anybody who's won, the last time, you have to go all the way back to Wes Unseld's Washington Bullets to have a champion that had a losing road record in the NBA.
Which, and you mentioned maturity. And to me, when you talk about such a difference between being so good at home and so poor on the road, that brings me to maturity, focus, the ability to go on a business trip. And when you go on the road, you have to look at it like, this is a business trip. This isn't an opportunity. And I know a lot of people got bent out of shape about the guys going to the Super Bowl and they're there with the owner and it's a bad look. And then you're hanging out at the pool and all that stuff. Then you're on national television and Charles Barkley calls them the Browns and they're soft and they don't have focus and all that stuff. And there's a lot to be said for that. And for them to win in the playoffs, especially as a five seed where they are right now, and they're three games behind Miami, I don't know that they're going to be able to catch Miami.
Well, you're getting, the window gets shorter.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if you're right there a game and a half out, which they could be, you know, you need Miami to slip a little bit. I'm not saying they can't move up between now and the end of the season. Of course they can. You know, Milwaukee, to me, forget about it. They're
going
to be the number one seed. And Toronto is on a heck of a roll. I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but they won their 13th straight last night.
Which is astounding.
Which actually allowed the Sixers to go into fifth. Now, they did their part by winning, but Indiana was at the one that lost to Toronto. So that's how you flipped with Indiana last night. And Indiana's not going away. Oladipo's going to find his groove as he gets more and more games under his belt. So the race there, I did appreciate Elton being honest. Look, I see us as a sixth seed right now, and until it isn't, you know, I'm just being real. He said, I'm being realistic.
Which means they have to win on the road. If you're going to win a playoff series, you got to win on the road.
Correct. And that's where I say the switch. You can't just think you put on a switch in, you know, late April that says we'll be a good road team now. Well, I mean, maybe if you're Joel Embiid, you say, as long as I'm healthy in late April, I'm going to be, you know, the guy I can be. The problem is we can go before injury, after injury. We can go, you know, what he looks like playing. We can go to his comments about him not feeling like he knows his fit with this team. I mean, there's so many things surrounding him and surrounding this team that aren't, that you can't just say, how do I have confidence that a healthy Joel Embiid will be a dominant Joel Embiid come the postseason?
And after the loss to Milwaukee, there were so many people down on Joel. Because, one, is he hurt? Is he playing hurt? And is he damned if he does, trying to play hurt, and now he's not playing well? But as you alluded to, he played well the first game back at home. Mm-hmm. If he sits out, oh, he's always hurt. He can't play. So many people are down on Joel. You got the two new guys coming in now, Burks and Robinson. They'll play, most likely we're expecting them to play against the Chicago Bulls on Sunday.
For some reason yesterday they put a little doubt that
into that.
You know, they're going to definitely play. I mean, it's crazy. They should. So let's just say they should.
So
it's been 2 days for
I want to ask our listeners today, and I want to ask everybody out there, given that, okay, they came home, they won a game. We know they're dominant at home. You got a couple new guys coming in who fill some needs, who fill some positions where they need some shooting. They're able to give them what they can. Does it give you a little room or a little hope for excitement about this team heading down the home stretch as they go into the playoffs that, you know what, maybe they can put it together and maybe they can be a playoff, a tough out in the playoffs and compete? Because as you said, they match up well with Milwaukee, but to get to that matchup, you got to go through people. Yeah, you're going to have to win. So to get to
and
that
just because
matchup,
I said they match up well, meaning you can hang games. I'm not saying they can win a 7-game series per se, because I thought Antetokounmpo obviously the other night was fierce, right?
Yeah.
And as I say, if people don't see the difference in how assertive he is and the group is around him because of that, and see the difference with the two stars that you have. I mean, neither one of them ever seems to me that they forget about taking over a game, taking over possessions in moments when you need like a jolt.
We see it in glimpses. Not for a whole quarter.
Yeah, not a whole quarter, and to me, not when things are on the line. I mean, I love watching Ben when he's going downhill. That game the other night, and I always think when Brett comes out and says how well Ben played because he had the 14 rebounds is a defensive mechanism because in 41 minutes, he took 6 shots. Now, I understand you're being a distributor, but if you go and just put together 5 minutes of where was he? He's standing. He's standing around. What is the spacing? It's not just Ben. 3 guys on the perimeter standing next to one another. I mean, if you look at when Milwaukee was coming down the court, there is spacing, there is shooting. They started that game 3 of 18 from 3. 3 of 18 from 3. And they, you know, it's no big deal.
But there's a difference in the attitude, the mindset, the aggressiveness between guys like the Greek Freak and the guys on the 76ers. So we got a lot of people who want to get in on this conversation with the 76ers. 610-632-0975 is how you get in with D. Lineham and I today. Let's start it off with Sean in North Philly. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how y'all doing?
How are you, bud?
Hey, not bad. Hey, first thing I wanted to say was anytime that Giannis gives credit to Jason Kidd, but helping him with his game and helping him develop his jump shot, I would jump at the opportunity to get him in here and see what he could do with our team, because that just seems to be so much of a similar situation with Ben Simmons. And also with the position that Jason Kidd played. And also on top of that, that Jason Kidd also wasn't a great shooter himself. He struggled to develop his shot.
The only thing, can I just share one thing? The difference between Jason Kidd, Giannis, and Ben is that Jason Kidd and Giannis, while they weren't good shooters, they were willing shooters. And so that's the difference as a starting point with Ben.
Well, still, I think that also that would help him communicate that with Ben Simmons. And also, too, you have to be a good communicator with these with the new brand and the new breed of players that's in the league now. You just can't tell them and be dictators that this is what's going to happen, this is my system, and expect them to follow. You have to be on their level and also be able to talk. And he's done that because he's communicated well, and him and Giannis have gotten along pretty good over there.
Well, he also didn't get to keep that job. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
Giannis is
taking it to another level because of his one commitment to make his game better each off season, and the other give Budenholzer a little bit of credit because he's been a good coach wherever he's gone, and he's doing a good job in Milwaukee each of the last 2 years.
And Sean, appreciate the call. Here's the thing: as you said, willing shooter.
Yeah.
Giannis the other night was 1 for 7 from three, but he shot. He was only 1 for 7, but he was willing to shoot.
And he's not.
He's willing to miss. He's willing to fail.
And
Ben
he's
is not.
And he's not a great free throw shooter. Just like Ben, but he gets to the line for double-digit attempts every game.
I'll give Ben this. He's been getting better there.
Over the last
2-3 weeks, he's been getting better at the line.
Except for since Embiid has come back, he does not get to the line as often as he was when Embiid was gone.
B-Hawk and Philly are on 97.5, The Fanatic. Hey, B-Hawk.
Hey, good afternoon. I called in I'm always calling in the morning. I was spazzing. But, I mean, honestly, though, the team, it just looks so disgruntled. Even with the big man, it's 5 things you just said. So many questions we got to ask with our big men. Are you going to be ready? Are you going to have the gears? Are you healthy? And I'll be honest with you. I'm a man of what I said. I was looking to move on from him because I felt like that. But now we still have him. I'm going to ride with the team. But there's so many questions. Going into fall, if it goes into a second-round situation, we got to ask these questions. Are we willing to wait? I'm impatient because we waited 2 years when he got injured. We got 3 right now. This whole team, like you said, the standing. When you hit their instant replay, players are standing. There's no real flow of rotation going on.
The body language is horrible, B-Hawk. That's what bothers me. Body language is terrible.
Bro, you ain't lying, man. Look, I said it on Friday, and I meant what I said. I will not get hyped no more off a sub-500 team. I want to see what they do against the Wolves. I'm up here. A lot of us are up here. We won a championship. We won gold at the end of the season, and now it's time like we're babysitting. Coach Brett is making excuses for players, just like you just said. We all saying the same thing. But going in, the East is getting stronger. Oladipo is back. Players are getting in position. Teams are getting in position, and we're getting got the hit out on us. I mean, driving kick in spaces is not the answer. We got to play collectively. We spent almost $400 million. It doesn't sit right with me. And like I meant what I said. I'm not getting ecstatic. I'm hot. I'm happy for Korkmaz, but I'm not getting hyped over those type wins. I'm being honest. I love y'all to death, but I'm being honest.
Appreciate it, B Hawk, and thanks for the call. I can't blame him for not being excited about that, D. You look at okay.
For not, I couldn't hear him completely. Not being excited about
just beating Memphis last.
Oh yeah.
Because he wants to see them beat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally
get that. The only thing I will say is, you should be happy they stopped the bleeding just in the moment, so that you can take a breath. And as I said, I think they will beat the Bulls. They played them well the last time the Bulls were here. I don't think the Bulls are a very good team. And then, as he says, the Clippers become a true challenge. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Lakers were in here, and they obviously played well against the Lakers and handled them. So they have beaten some good teams, most of them at home, the ones that you look to at the upper echelon. But, you know, at this point, honestly, they need to be looking and the video, the game the next day, does it look like we're getting better? Does the flow, the adjective they use way too often for like the first half of the season, we look clunky on offense, you know? It just doesn't flow. And to me, instead of keep having the conversation of I don't know where I fit or between Ben and Joel, then X's and O's, get at a table and draw it between the two of you.
That's one of the most concerning things to hear when you got these guys in year three together.
Yeah.
And now you're saying halfway through beyond the halfway point, I don't know where I fit.
Well,
and you got two new guys you got to come in who are going to have to assimilate into the offense.
Now, in fairness, Embiid might have more been talking about the Al Horford part of that. I don't know where I fit. When you put out things that don't have specifics to it, you leave it for others to interpret, and you can interpret by looking at the product that he and Al certainly don't fit. You know, yesterday it was brought up to Brett, you know, would you consider bringing Horford off the bench? And he said all things are on the table.
Would you?
I all along thought he is a backup center. I don't think I like him as a stretch four in the starting lineup. Right? And he's at his best as a backup.
So you'd move
as
Tobias center. To the stretch.
I'd move Tobias to the four, and then you have the debate. I actually would have one of the shooters. I personally would keep Furkan coming off the bench because I do
would
think...
Would you put Thibault in?
Thibault doesn't shoot enough me, so you'd have to go with Burks to see what he could do. And he's been in a starting role with the Warriors. That, to me... Now, I don't know if they want to instantly change it just because you have the pieces that you could, but for the sake of Embiid, I sure as heck would give it a try.
Well, maybe you do it after the All-Star break. You ease into it.
Yeah.
And you try and work it out. But, hey, if Brett Brown's coaching for his career. He's coaching for his future here in the NBA and with the 76ers. So all things should be on the table.
Absolutely. I remember, let's just go back a couple of years, they force-fed having Fultz in the starting lineup, and it was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
J.J. Redick was a better spacer and a better shooter. Fultz would have been great leading that second unit coming off the bench. But because he was your number one pick, because you're invested, you do that. You know, you have $109 million invested in Al Horford. It's very hard to say, I'm now going to bring the guy off the bench. But at the end of the day, if it's best for your team and you utilize everybody properly and he's going to still get his minutes, you'll still play him some at the four, but you'll get off to better starts.
Let's get to Tom in Deptford. You're on 975 The Fanatic. Hey, Tom.
Hey, D, how you doing? Listen, D, you know I've been calling you for the last, year here now. D, it's time. Something has to go. Whether it's the coach, whether it's one of these superstars, D, it's not working. It's not working. You have a bench with no identity. You have a center who wants to play guard. You have a guard, a 6'8 guard, who disappears in the third and fourth quarter. We got a coach, when he goes up against superior talent in the top 15, he will lose in a seven-game series because he will get out coached. You have a GM with a 90s-style
thought process putting this team together. It's not there, D. You have to change at this point. It's been 3 years with certain things. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, okay? You had a Toronto team, like I told you a couple months ago, D, that made a change. Because they see it was not going to work. Even though they won 50 games, they just could not get over the top. What are we waiting? Are we going to wait for it this season? What is that going to do? You need a complete, you need some kind of shakeup with this.
I'm just going to tell you, first of all, your opportunity for making drastic change is gone for this.
The trade deadline
is usually that. Yeah. You now are 53 games into an 82 game season. So you're a little now you must look at what you have and do the best with what you have. If there are changes, your changes have to now come within, whether that is how you utilize your players, how your starting lineup, all of the new guys, shaking it up with that. I don't think it's a drastic change, but I'm just saying for the next 29 games, this is what you have. So how do you maximize the next 29 games?
The conversation about making drastic moves, like trading one of the two big guys and BA, you can't have that now. That's not a conversation because the deadline passed the other day. That's a conversation after the season. And I don't see them blowing out Brett Brown until they get through. At this point, like you said,
the biggest thing, when you change a coach mid-season, usually it's on a bad team that's going south and it's going to continue to go south. This team still has aspirations and possibilities. Now, are they in the best place that they should be based on who they said they were going to be coming into the season? No, they're not. 5-6 is not where you expected to be. Can you still? I don't think there's anybody out there that wants to come into the Wells Fargo Center to have to play these guys and steal one from them. Now, they say, well, they're not a good road team, so if we just take care of us on the road. But you look, they're not all great road teams. Milwaukee can't just, they're really, actually, Milwaukee and Miami are very good.
Yeah.
You know,
Miami's the 12-14.
No. I'm saying at home.
Oh, yeah.
So like,
they're dominant.
Right.
Yeah.
No, so Milwaukee thinks they'll protect their own home court.
Miami
thinks
does.
The same as well. But, you know, even the bad road team can go in and steal one from, if you're Indiana, Boston.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's those two that would be dangerous. So you can't, those teams can't count on coming into the Wells Fargo Center and stealing one from the Sixers.
Which means we're at a point right now where we came into this season thinking Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals, those were the expectations, and here we are 53 games into the season, and I can't tell you with any degree of confidence that I even think they're going to get out of the first round to get to where they were the last 2 years into the second round. So 610-632-0975, that's how you get in with D-Lineham. I'm Rob Motti, live at Parks Casino Sportsbook. Mike and David, hang on, we'll get to you next. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Lineham, Rob Motti, live from beautiful new Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Watch the games, place your bets, great food and drink. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're getting ready for XFL. You excited about the XFL? You need your football fix?
I'm excited to see how it's different or similar to its first go-around, so to speak.
Yeah, some of the rules have changed. I had an opportunity to sit down with the commissioner, Oliver Luck, on Radio Row.
Andrew's
the Super
dad.
Bowl. Yeah, and for me, the most interesting part of the conversation, I talked to him about the XFL. That's great, but I said, hey, have you talked to Andrew lately? The Patriots may need a quarterback, some teams out there. And what he said to me is, because like, he just spent the holidays with him and his family, he said, he has given me no indication
that he's coming out of retirement?
He has any desire to come back. So I thought that was the biggest thing. I'm sure the XFL people weren't as happy, like, hey, this is what you're talking about. But I was like, and he did tell me about the rules and Cardale Jones is playing and all these guys who are in it. But it's football. We'll see. I'm sure you can, as I'm looking up here, you can certainly bet it if you come to Parx Casino, or you can just download the Parx Casino Sportsbook app and you can bet on the games for XFL. 610-632-0975. We're talking Sixers, your concerns, whether you think this team can even get through a first-round series, because they got to win on the road to do that, and it's a 9-19 road team. They're a 5-seed right now. They're 3 games behind Milwaukee for a 4-seed. It's going to be an uphill battle the rest of the way just to move up in the standings, because you're going to need a team to go like 2-6. And then you're going to have to really take advantage of that and be 7-1. Now, we've seen them 2 years ago win, what was it, 17 games in a row to end the season? You do that.
16 to finish the regular season.
Yeah, if they do that this year, if they go on a streak like that, I'm sure they'll move up a spot or two, maybe three even.
And people will read that they do have a favorable schedule to close it out. Though, I believe their last 2 games of the season are on the road, which is usually unusual.
Oh, wow.
Well, and they're out of conference. Usually those ones at the end, because you're jockeying for position in the standings, possibly.
Which
that you'd like to be in a conference game, and I believe their final two are not.
You may have to win a road game to end the season to get a better seed, and we'll see if they can do that. But there's a lot to discuss with the Sixers. I still want to get into Shaq's comments with you, because I thought Shaq was kind of mocked Joel a little bit. Just the way he was saying, he was mocking him a little bit.
Ernie said as much.
Yeah,
like, that's harsh.
Yeah, it was beyond harsh. I mean, there's some validity to what he's saying, but I think he took it a little too far. Let's get to David in Burlington. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, D, how's everything?
Good.
All right, here's my rant. Wah, Sixers fans. Oh, it's going to be so hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Nobody said it wasn't going to be a mess at times. We have a team that is almost undefeated at home. And yes, they struggle on the road. But if you can tell me you're undefeated at home almost, then that means that you can get it. I think they're just simply missing the right combination. Which I agree with D, that it should be probably Al Horford coming off the bench. But while I kind of disagree a little bit, I would start Matisse Thybulle in spite of him not being as great a shooter just yet. But he's good enough to keep the defense honest. And I feel confident going up against who we would have to face in the playoffs potentially, because let's not get it twisted. You didn't think Milwaukee was going to come gunning for us the other day? We whipped their behinds in Philly. So that loss doesn't mean anything. It's the third game that really counts to see where we are with Milwaukee. Well,
David, right now, though, before you get to Milwaukee, you got to get through Miami. If the season were to end today, you got to beat Miami in a 7-game series.
And I'll tell you why I feel confident about that. We blew them out. They blew us out. Them 2 games in between, y'all know darn well we shouldn't have lost them games. The only team that shouldn't have lost which game?
They should have won that one on the road, the one after they lost to Orlando.
We should have won the one at home when we were ahead. And then they threw the zone, and then we got all goofy. And then we lost the lead and lost the game. So if that's how we lose, I'm like, okay, we can fix this. Even against it all at Boston.
How would you fix losing by 31 on the road to them?
The same way that they fix losing by 35 on the road to us. You dig where I'm coming from? I'm not going to put their win against us over what we did to them.
That's fine. I also think that I like the moves they made.
They got better.
Yep, they certainly did.
So did Milwaukee, by the way. Marvin Williams, they're going to get him today.
Yeah. By the way, when you say they're almost undefeated at home, Milwaukee's on pace to win 70 games, just so we're being even with everybody.
David, appreciate the call. He's optimistic, and I wanted to know if there's anybody out there who has that confidence level, and there we go. We got David, who's confident they can beat Milwaukee Miami in a first-round series to even get to Milwaukee. I'm not there yet. I got to see what the addition of Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III can do to this team to help them out. Were you disappointed in the roster shuffling? Because you could have found a way maybe to keep James Ennis. Could you have kept James Ennis? Would you want it to, just for his defense, or you think at this point he wasn't going to get the minutes, just move on?
Right. It wouldn't have made a difference either way.
So you're fine with that?
Well, because the roster rotation at some point has to get smaller.
Yeah.
And they do believe that the guys they're bringing in, they like Burks in a pick and roll situation and you can put the ball in his hands, similar to what they do with Josh Richardson, and use Ben more as a screener. So he can do that. He's a lot longer. He's 6'6" as opposed to Trey Burke or Ennis, actually not as much. He has good length.
He's a better shooter.
Yeah.
He's absolutely a better
shooter. Burks is definitely.
Yeah, he's definitely a better shooter. Well, David was quite optimistic. I'm sure Mike and King of Prussia will bring it back down just a little bit. Mike and King of Prussia, you're 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Rob. I got to say, I always appreciate the introduction. They're really good. Here's my thing. I was a very big fan of the process, right? I really wanted this to happen, and I was, you know, patient. Well, now the process has landed us a center who can't keep himself in shape, and a point guard who's kind of Hollywood, and like it's the optics around some of his antics are just not great. And I'm just like, why should I be invested in this? Like, I spent so many years like waiting for this, and I've got two players. We screwed up a first round pick with both, and all our assets are gone now. Like, it's really depressing where we're at. And like, if you think about it, and B, the way he's in and out, in and out, in and out, and now he's got a sore neck, he's got this, he's got that. I don't know how long he's actually going to be a premier, like, top-flight center, like, in this league. Like, this is a team that, one, it's hard to like just because they're really kind of petulant, spoiled children. And two, you don't know what the longevity's like here. Like,
Mike, that's a valid concern with Joel Embiid. The one thing that bothers me the most is the consistently out of shape. When this is your job, this is your career, this is what you're paid huge dollars to do, stay the heck in shape, man. That's the absolute least you can do. And the injuries, they happen. Okay, we get it. Now, let's go back to the process years. What they did was make this team relevant. The Sixers team is relevant, but they're not right now legitimate championship contenders.
No, they're a laughing stock. We're getting made fun of by everybody. And, like, I'll just leave you with this. Like, it doesn't get easier to stay in shape as you get older. Like,
he's a lot younger than us.
Yeah, he's 25, and he can't. In a couple years, when he's pushing 30, how's he going to be able to do it then? Like, it gets real hard, real fast. Like, I just don't get it.
I hear you, Mike. Appreciate the call, as always. And as he mentioned, laughing stock. I'll say
well,
this.
Well, and he's accurate because it's...
They were. National media. And as I said, in Miami, I'm at the Super Bowl, and any non-football-related conversation I was having there, people come up to me. They know I'm from Philly. They want to talk to me about the they call them dysfunctional Sixers.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, like, wow, this is the perception nationally of this basketball team, that there's dysfunction among this group. You're so much closer than everyone. And I always look at it like this. And I don't cover the Sixers on a daily basis, but when I hear national media report on the Phillies and Eagles, teams that I cover on a daily basis,
right,
I take it with a sort of
grain of salt.
Yeah, because they're national.
Not around it all the time.
They're not there. So when I hear national guys say that about the 76ers, I would rather come to you, come to Devon, come to guys who are there and around them. Do you think there's something to that team dysfunction that people are saying nationally?
Well, I think you can use the phrase, and even from an X and O standpoint, there is dysfunction that you are now in February and haven't figured out who you are offensively. So when we hear the word dysfunction, I think we automatically go to the locker room.
Yeah.
But if you're strictly looking at the product on the court, there's dysfunction in who they are in terms of complimenting or not complimenting one another.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because you see it on the court.
Right.
Then you have guys who allude to it, like Al Horford the other day, alluding to
it. Who got booed last night because we're inferring, but he got booed last night, and you got to think it's because he answered a question honestly.
Which doesn't make any sense to me. Now, if you're booing Al Horford for not giving you what $109 million
maybe that's what it is.
You know what? If you were out there and you booed last night, explain to us, what was the reasoning behind your booing of Al Horford? Was it the comment? Because he was, like you said, honest,
yep,
which we want. we expect someone to be honest. We encourage that.
And he didn't throw anybody under the bus.
No, he
just answered, you know, we have some things in our locker room and we're going to keep that internal.
And things that they certainly have to work out. And we've heard Josh Richardson, right? Richardson said it long ago.
Yeah. I mean, meaning a couple months ago. He said it.
And these are two new guys who came into the locker room who see what the atmosphere is like. And you've talked
and
about
and who have
before.
Also come from different...
Different cultures,
good,
right?
Who from the outside have pretty good cultures.
Yeah.
From, you know, what people say if you ask the other media.
Yeah, absolutely. 610-632-0975. Ken, Mark, hang on. We'll get to you next. She's D-Line. I'm Rob Motti. Live from Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with D-Line. I'm live from beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Watch the games, place your bets, great food, great drinks. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. D, you're not going to be able to help me with this, I don't think. You may have an explanation. I mean, you are married and you have boys. You have sons. Maybe Josh can help me out, but I ran to the men's room in between commercials, and I can never understand why I have to witness this sometimes when I walk into a men's room. The men are standing at a urinal with their pants dropped down to their ankles. I don't understand. Like, why do you have to? I don't get it. Josh,
I'll let Josh handle that one.
Josh, you have any explanation? Why does that happen?
Yeah, that's something you're supposed to wean out, like, in preschool. I see that from, like, a 4 or 5 year old. I'm not expecting to see that from a grown man.
Grown men. So I walk in, there's maybe 5 or 6, and I see 2 of them. And I'm like, I did not need to see this at 12:45 on a Saturday afternoon. It's beautiful outside. It's beautiful inside. It's ugly in the men's restroom.
I'm uncomfortable already enough. I don't need to see somebody's butt cheeks.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Thanks, Josh. You're right. You got to wean that out when you're 4 or 5, no doubt. Let's get to Mark in Cheltenham. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing?
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I want to talk about MD. I've been talking about him and Ben Simmons for a long time. This hand injury, no one seems to be talking about it that much. And I truly believe he's still injured.
One thing I always like, Karl Malone a long time ago said, when you put on the jersey, then you're good to go. And that's why a lot of times people, he may be, but the point is when you put on the jersey, that cannot be the focus of the conversation. Or if you really can't go, then don't put the jersey on.
Well, D, you see how he's playing. He's favoring that hand. When he played against Milwaukee, if they touched it, he was favoring it. And if you're not going to be effective, they need to take him out of the lineup until he heals, until he's comfortable. Because if the playoffs come, they're going to touch that hand. They're going to do whatever they can to distract him. And he's got to come. I mean, the playoffs, is, you know, you're playing for the marbles. You're not playing just to be playing. And he's got to want it. Remember what Barkley said a long time ago? Barkley was 6'4". He wasn't 6'5". And he almost led the league in rebound. You got to want to play. It's an attitude. If you come timid, they're going to test your manhood.
Well, two things. If he feels like it is hindering him, one of two things I would do first, I would ask to see if they could do a different kind of splint, something that maybe isn't as bulky. I mean, I haven't seen it completely up close, but people describe it as a little cumbersome. Yeah. So can you do it where it's not as cumbersome? And the other part is that's just part of competition. Of course they're going to swipe at his hand, because if you're out there and they think that they have an edge, and they're not. I'm not trying to be mean, but that's what you do. You try to get the edge. So getting it hit or having it mentally bother you now that it has been hit, then I think you have to consider talking to your training staff and saying, how long, if I sit out, will I have it where it won't be hurting me? And if the answer to that is, well, it's going to hurt when it gets hit, probably for a while. And so he has to make that choice that is it good enough, but when it gets hit, it's going to be a problem.
It's going to hurt. And here's the thing, and what Mark just said, and I appreciate the call, Mark. He said maybe he's not completely healthy. Well, clearly he's not completely healthy, but he was healthy enough to come back against Golden State in the first game on the 28th, 9 for 13 in 26 minutes, scored 24 points, and had 10 rebounds. Then against Atlanta in a loss, he had 21 points, 8 for 14, 3 of 6, 14 rebounds. Then it was Boston where he was terrible, 1 for 11. Then against Miami, he's good, 9 for 14, 29 points at 33 minutes is efficient. Very efficient, 12 rebounds. Then he goes to Milwaukee. So is it caliber of opponent? Although well, Miami's good, but that's caliber of opponent.
Well, but I'll tell you this, that caliber of opponent is part of that. Mm-hmm. And so I do think give my Milwaukee some credit.
Yeah.
And he kept trying. Like, he kept shooting. You know, he's 6 for 26.
3 for 10 from 3, right. Which is way too many three-pointers in that
well,
game.
Well, and Al took a career-high 12. So between the two of them, they had 22. But that's what when I first started, Milwaukee baited them into being. I know they think they're good three-point shooting. They have been going into Milwaukee, the worst three-point percentage from Christmas till now in the league. So you may say you want to play like that. Milwaukee got you to play exactly how they wanted you to play.
And that's the formula for beating this team. I don't know what happened to I don't even want to use this term. I don't know what happened to bully ball.
No,
isn't that team that plays bully ball?
I mean, the hand, let's just say the hand, all right, it's an issue. But I still, there was a play. It goes into Embiid in the post. His defender is behind him, shading to his going right, okay? And now here comes a double from the same. If he spins left, there is no one there and no one to come and double. And he takes one drop step and dunks on somebody's head. And he instead keeps going to the paint and floats away. And now the person out there wants to say, well, because of his left hand. Okay, I don't think it was because of the left hand on that play. And then what happens? Come down on not the very next play, but Giannis in the low post, shading. Spins to the area where there's not shading. And it's, you got to be able to feel that. And if you didn't feel it, I sure as hell would have the iPad out in the timeout and say, do you see the open space? And you go to the opposite.
Instead, during the timeout, he's sitting on a far end of the bench all by himself.
The optics of that doesn't look good, but I will say he's a big man, and to sit on it's like sitting on the aisle on the plane. No, I'm serious. To have a little extra space.
Yeah, you need a little bit.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. I know that Reggie Miller said he should be sitting like close to the coaches and with his teammates, but I'm just going to say, if he's doing that so he can have a little extra space, I got no problem with it.
They sure didn't let up. They piled on. They piled on for sure, the National guys. Ken and Philly are 97.5, the Fanatic. Hey, Ken.
Hey. Yeah. The Sixers are really two teams. They got a running gun team led by Simmons, and then they got a as you call it, a bully ball led by Embiid.
Which they don't really play, though.
And he doesn't really bully.
Yeah, well, he's not a bully.
Which dominant profile dominates sort of depends on the team you're playing. If they're making the jump shot, it's going to be a half-court game. If they're missing the jump shot, we're going to blow their eyeballs out. Run and gun. And
that comes down to your defense, which we know. On most nights when they play well offensively, they are getting after it defensively, which they have shown, obviously, very capable of doing. But on the road trip, that was not the case.
Yeah, on road trips, you know. We got to fix that. Yeah, Yeah, we got to depend on each other.
All right, Ken. Appreciate the call. I'm having trouble here.
I will say this, that yes, they do have Ben will push the pace absolutely all the time. I do think they are not as fast as they were a year ago. Like, Ben can lead that fast break. Yeah. Ben can try to push the pace, but I still don't think it's as fast as it was last year.
Well, certainly not with Embiid out there.
I'm saying if he's out of the game. Like, people would think of J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
You know, but J.J. was down the court. You could throw it to him on the three-point line, and before anyone is ever near him, you're getting a three in transition. You know, he knew to get to a spot. And,
maybe Burks and Robinson can be that guy.
Maybe. The only thing I have a little bit of concern, not as much with Burks Robinson the third, but they're having good years on a very weak Warriors team that allows them to play career minutes.
Right.
29 and 31. Neither guy is coming in here to get 29 and 31 minutes. And can you produce at the same level you are doing, getting fewer minutes? Because there is an art to that.
Oh, that's an excellent point, because you look at a guy like Burks, he's shooting 12 and a half. He's taking 12 and a half shots per game. He's never done that before in his career, and it's been about... last year he was at 10 in Cleveland, but yeah, I haven't watched them closely enough to see.
Does it
take them a while to heat up? And if they're only coming in and playing 18 minutes, 16 minutes, is that going to happen here? We'll look closely at that.
But I will say there is validity. Now, if they look big picture, it doesn't always work out. But if you look at the instant of when moves were made, when Ilyasova and Bellinelli came, they helped. Definitely helped. When Mike Scott and Ennis came last year, they definitely helped. Now, if the next year you factor in with it, the picture looks different.
Yeah.
But when they were first moved to get here, it helped.
The infusion of what they can do definitely helped both seasons.
And Tobias is the one exception of his three-point shooting so dropped after he came here last year from who he had been with the Clippers. But if you look at those other examples, they came in here and they made shots.
610-632-0975. Andrew, hang on. We'll get to you next. She's D-Lineham. I'm Rob Motti, live from Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.